afternoon, London. This is Canada's most irreverent talk show, The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. So good to have you with us here today. It's an exciting day for politicos. It's an exciting week, actually. We have the Prime Minister coming to town tomorrow. Rob Ford's triple scandal hat trick last night. And tonight, it is budget night. Yes, the Liberal government will be unveiling its 2014 budget. I don't have high hopes. I don't believe we've been promised fiscal responsibility. As a matter of fact, yesterday we were promised a multi-billion dollar high-speed rail service from London to Toronto. So the priorities of the government are to spend, not to save. But what are we going to see? Is a balanced budget even possible? Should we even be hoping for that? Well, one political party thinks that none of the parties are doing that. None of them are doing it effectively, but it is possible. Joining us now is Paul McKeever, the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. Paul, it's great to have you back on the program, sir.
It's nice to be back, Andrew.
So now I have in my hands here, we'll talk about it very shortly, the opposition budget from the Freedom Party of Ontario. But as an avid politico yourself, the leader of a party, I was wondering if you could talk to me a little bit about what you think we will see, and more importantly, what we won't see in the budget tonight.
Well, what we're going to see is rampant overspending, continued borrowing, probably an expanded deficit. Recently, I think it was as lately as this morning, it was leaked that they're going to strike a committee to find, I don't know, a few hundred million dollars of savings as a way to help try to balance the budget by 2017, 2018. But I think anybody who still believes that malarkey, that this government is going to balance the budget within 3 years, 3 to 4 years, I think, you know, we need to start looking at what's in your tea. There's just no way that they can balance the budget without making cuts to one of the two things they always promised never to make cuts to. That's education and health care. If those things aren't, and cuts was kind of a crude way of saying it, it's not necessarily a cut, but they certainly need to be restructured, and none of the parties in the legislature is willing to do that. They treat those two files as sacred cows, and it's literally economically impossible, just numerically impossible, and we lay that all out in sort of the preamble to our budget. It's literally impossible to balance the budget without dealing with one of those two files, if not both. And so I don't expect there to be a balanced budget any time over the next 4 years if the NDP, the Liberals, or the PCs are in power.
And when it comes down to it, you're right. I mean, not only are they the sacred cows, but they also together make up a huge portion of the provincial budget. So, I mean, to make any other change that doesn't address those two seems like it is purely theatrical, even at best.
Oh, it is theatrical. In fact, if you sum up, as you said, the health care, the education, and the payments on the debt, you pretty much exhaust all provincial revenues. In other words, the provincial government imposes its own taxes, but it gets some money from the federal government too. Ignoring the federal money, basically 100% of it is spent just on health care, education, and servicing the debt. And so all those other ministries that you hear about, agriculture, children, family services, all of those other ministries, about 16 of them would have to be closed entirely if you don't do something with health care and education. That's just that's ridiculous. Nobody's going to close 16 of the 26 ministries to balance the budget. So unless they deal with something in the terms of education or health care, they are not going to balance the budget, and that means a ruinous budget for Ontario.
One of the things that has disturbed me the most, and this isn't exclusive to Kathleen Wynne. I mean, we see politicians doing this all the time. They see, okay, there's a gap between our revenue and our expenditures, so now here's where I and sensible people like yourself would say, great, let's lower our expenditures then to match our revenue and perhaps even below. She says, no, let's raise our revenue. Kathleen Wynne has already vowed to increase taxes on tobacco because, after all, I mean, no one's going to stand up no one's really going to fight against cigarette taxes because smokers are not an attractive group to defend. And also raising taxes on high earners. So again, people are not going to line up and say, I think the rich are being taxed too much. But instead of actually reining in spending, we're seeing part of an ongoing saga of just increasing taxes.
Yeah, and it can't possibly be sustained, and it won't be without repercussions either. If you raise taxes on cigarettes, well, that just means people are going to go to illegal sources, cross-border sources, that kind of thing. If you raise taxes on fuel for flights, as is rumored to be the case in this budget, well, that means you're going to have less of a reason to do business within Ontario because flying into and out of Ontario is going to be more expensive, and so on. These are taxes that don't just affect ma and pa cattle, although they certainly do. They also put a a negative light, put Ontario into a negative light for anybody considering whether to do business here. Take the big one. I mean, the Ontario pension plan that they're allegedly going to impose through this budget, which was actually an NDP, 2010 NDP proposal, that thing, I mean, you might as well slice off your head at this point. If they impose that, and it looks like they're going to go full steam ahead with it, businesses will have to pay huge chunks of money in addition to that which they're already paying for wages, which means those that are just teetering on the edge of insolvency right now, they're gone. That's it. I mean, it's huge when they raise the minimum wage. They know in advance that they're going to lose tens of thousands of jobs by raising the minimum wage. The Liberals have gone ahead and done it twice anyway. But if you start imposing this, a huge payroll tax that both the employer and the employee are going to have to pay into, you're not only going to make it that much more difficult for people to balance their own budgets at home, you're going to have employers say, well, you know what, that's it. We can't do business here anymore. We're closing. And I know, I'm an employment lawyer. I've never had a busier set of years since 2009. I've been seeing as many as five people a day going through severance packages. By all rights, Andrew, I should not be this busy. I should be much less profitable than I am right now. But the economy has been beaten up. It's been overtaxed, overregulated. They have not dealt with the downturn in the global economy in the correct way. They've tried to just spread around whatever wealth they could find by stealing it from Peter to pay Paul. And the result is that jobs are leaving the province. They're gone to China. They're gone to India. They're gone to Mexico. I'm here in Oshawa, right up the street from the plant that used to be so busy. The in and out, they had to stagger the shifts so that people, the traffic wasn't
wow.
So bad. Now the traffic, it's a walk in the park because there's only maybe 2,000 people there.
Now I wanted to move to the budget itself. And we have, from you, I have in my hand the Freedom Party of Ontario's balanced budget plan. And unfortunately, it does not look like the Freedom Party is headed towards a majority government in the next election based on polling I've seen. I mean, anything could happen. But,
I don't mean to cut you off there, but the interesting thing about that is there has only ever been one poll in I'd say the last 25 years that has allowed people to say, I would vote Freedom Party or I would vote Paul McKeever. They don't include it as an answer. And the reason is the polls are commissioned by the very parties that they don't want to have a new emerging party. So there's no way that a PC commissioned poll is going to allow people to say, well, no, I wouldn't vote Tim Hudak, I'd vote Paul McKeever.
Yeah. The question I was trying to get at, though, your point is well taken, is that even if you do not become the next premier, I think there's a lot of good in your budget that I would like to think would be taken away by the political parties. And I know balancing a budget is not an easy job. I mean, when you're dealing with billions of dollars here, it does take some hard work. But also, creating a provincial budget is not meant to be easy. It's not meant to please everyone. It's meant to look at the bottom line of the numbers and say, this is what we're going to do. So what would you like the government to take away from your budget, if nothing else? Or, I mean, even moving it forward, if you were the next premier, what would you think would be the most important part of your budget to enact?
Well, one causes the other. So the one expenditure that we deal with in that budget year after year is making the healthcare system not one that is tax funded, but one that is one of many possible options for employers, for employees, for people, whether they're employed or not, they can pay directly to the insurer of their choice. So, for example, right now you have to pay a large amount of the money into the provincial coffers just because you're forced to buy your health insurance from the government. We think that should be an option. That, in other words, the OHIP system should be run by a Crown Corporation, and you decide whether to buy OHIP or to buy Blue Cross or some other competitor. Now, if you do that, that means that you have a huge weight lifted off the shoulder of the taxpayer, and that means you can then eliminate many of the petty little taxes that, in fact, are getting increased on this budget, like the tax on fuel, et cetera. And, in fact, you would have a much lower tax load because you have choice in healthcare. That's all that needs to be done. It's a reversal of the 1969 decision to impose a government monopoly on healthcare insurance, and it's that monopoly that is dragging us down right now. In fact, before we had health insurance that was monopolized by the provincial government, we didn't have a provincial income tax, and we would not have a provincial income tax anymore if we made the system competitive again.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the other political parties we have here, because Tim Hudak of the PC Party has already said he's going to vote against the budget. Andrea Horvath has been a little bit coy. Is there any hope within those main three parties that you see that a balanced budget is on the table?
Not even a whisker of a chance. Keep in mind, the people who brought in the monopoly for health care in the first place was the progressive conservatives, and you aren't going to get them taking that off if they're... I mean, their party membership is still largely the same. A lot of those people are still alive now. Members now were alive when they decided to impose the monopoly in the first place. And you certainly aren't going to have the left-wing liberals or NDP calling for the end of a government monopoly on health care. So that, without doing something with that, or without doing something with education, and none of them are talking about making education competitive, there's just no chance. It's mathematically impossible. So I would like to be able to say, yes, I think they're all great people who would look for a balanced budget, but the fact of the matter is, because they're wedded to a monopoly on health care and they're wedded to tax-funded education, no choice in education, we are stuck with deficit spending here out. That's it.
How would you sell an education reform to the general public? I mean, there are two things that politicians need to navigate. One is obviously the fiscal realities, which, I mean, I think many politicians skirt around. And the other is the political realities. You need to actually sell something to the people. And in all honesty, I don't believe that by giving people choice in healthcare, by giving people choice in education, you're giving them a bad bill of goods. I think, if anything, you're making things better for them. But it's change. It's a little bit fear-inducing. I get that. But how would you tell, the average Ontario voter, what education could be under your government compared to what it is now, or what it would likely be under the opposition parties?
Well, the wrong approach is to say we're going to get rid of government health care, we're going to get rid of government education. You don't do that. That's the scary part. People know that those systems are what they are, that they're delivering whatever they're delivering, and they want to have the freedom to stay in those systems if that's what they want to do. And that's the Freedom Party's approach. No, we're not taking anything away. If you want OHIP, you still have OHIP at the same price for the same conditions. If you want your children to attend a public school, they can still attend the exact same school, get the exact same education. But the difference is, if you don't want the government monopoly, you have the alternative of taking your money and going to that alternative insurer or that alternative educator. And when you have more choices but nothing's being taken away, there is no more fear. I think that's what's key. When you hear, libertarians and whatnot saying, oh, well, we'll scrap this or we'll privatize that, that's the unnecessary step. That's not necessary. It's scary. It'll never happen. You need just to open up choices, not to take away things from people.
And on that note, Paul McKeever, I look forward to chatting with you in the weeks to come, especially if we do end up with a summer election. Paul McKeever, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, joins us. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right, do we have to take a quick break here? When we come back, going to take your calls. Let's talk. 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. Do you want an election? Do you want an election? Do you think this budget will be the road to that? Give me a call. We'll talk about this when we get back. Stay with us. This is the Andrew Lawton Show.